Welcome to another edition of Southern Sports Sports Cave. And tonight we'll be recapping the Eagles' win against the Packers as they won 34-27 last night. And tonight my co-host is Kenneth, and I believe my buddy Joe will be coming on too. How are you, Kenneth?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Do you want to start off and give your take on the home game, on the game, and we'll go from there?
Yeah, I think overall, it started out just, I guess, typical Eagle fashion, a slow start. The thing that really I thought lit them up was that the kickoff return that this set gave them that excellent field position that cut the game, it cut the deficit down to 3 points and made it 7-3. I think that, and then going into another turning point in the game was once they went up 14-13 and they got that strip sack Aaron Rodgers. I think that's when you knew
it was turning
momentum was definitely not on the side. But for the defense to step up, knowing how much Adams really like torched them up big time and held them out of the end zone two straight drives.
Exactly.
Was kind of awesome.
Oh yeah. Devontae was killing us in the first quarter. I thought he was gonna get like 200 yards in the first half the way he was playing. He had so many yards, but he couldn't get in the end zone. He couldn't get in the end zone.
I said, not only that, I was surprised how much little Packers tried to do to even run the ball whatsoever. It was like, he just came into the game looking, my goal, this, I guess they noticed how banged up our secondary is, so they didn't really have a good run game plan. Like, they just planned on running the ball. Especially, you saw that mainly. I mean, throwing the ball. And you saw that mainly in the fourth quarter when they were down, too. It's like they were still getting those yardage, but they couldn't get it big time and that's getting in the end zone. They couldn't, like.
Exactly. What do you think was the biggest moment, the biggest turnaround in the game? Was it the strip sack?
I was thinking that's when they went out, 21-13 at that time, and then they went on 21, that made it 21-13 after they scored after that. And not only did the Packers score, tied it up in the third quarter, but they decided on that go ahead touchdown drive that you're running right down their throat. My God, they just ran. And one thing I was really happy about was seeing Jordan Howard. I mean, I don't have nothing against Miles Sanders, but Miles Sanders
he's
should not be getting a vocal load of the he's not, to me, he's good, but I think people overrate him to be like the next Saquon Barkley because he was his backup in Penn State.
Yeah.
But it's not there.
Not yet. It's going to take a few years before he becomes the back. We traded for Howard for a reason.
And I thought that he was going to use Howard more often than like he did. If you look at the Redskins game, I mean, he averaged more yards per carry than Sproles and then what's his name, than anybody else. And the Detroit game and the Atlanta, I don't know. I mean, somehow. Coach as well.
Yeah. I mean, having Alshon back was really huge for the offense and for Carson. I mean, I know he dropped, three or four balls in the second half, but like,
he dropped three or four balls, but it makes you a difference in how one star wide receiver is made such a difference in having none compared to that Detroit game.
Exactly. And Aguilar needs to go. He's
I think it's that Nelson Aguilar, he needs to keep. I think they I think he's the last of Chip Kelly prospects, is he? We drafted him when Chip Kelly was head coach. Chip Kelly wasn't in charge of that draft, but yet he was still part of the Chip Kelly era.
Is he the last one? No, Lane Johnson.
I mean,
he was the first.
I think he was the first one in the era. I think the first year when Chip Kelly was the head coach of the Eagles, and then going into that draft season, everybody wanted us to draft a wide receiver. And
oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, everybody wanted us to draft Mariota.
Well, I think the only problem is I don't think nobody what Tennessee wanted in return, we wasn't going to give them.
Yeah.
And at the same time,
they wanted pressure.
Yeah. And we wind up doing that trade with Tennessee giving them to Cleveland when we got Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz.
Right. And the rest is history. But
yeah. Which I think is kind of.
What were you saying?
Yeah, but overall the game is nice. I like how the defense actually stepped it up. It'll be nice if we have like a healthy defense. So that's one thing I like about Thursday Night Football. Yes, it's a short week, but when you win and you just know it's like 10 days off, it's like I'm going into a mini bye. Because you don't have to worry about this weekend, nor you're worrying about and going into the next week. You get to rest up.
Yeah. Exactly.
What do you think about the penalties and all the other stuff that, because to me, they were a lot, especially.
The penalties, I don't think Doug Peterson should have challenged that penalty in the second half, in the fourth quarter. Was it the fourth or third? Third quarter.
The fourth quarter because it was the going into the cost of that one time. It went into one timeout until, yeah.
Yeah, and then they should have challenged the one that was on the ground, before the 2-minute warning. See, if they hadn't challenged that, or they had the extra timeout, it didn't make a difference, because why do you think that they always get off their slow start?
They look good in the Detroit game. I mean, they went down there and they got the field goal the first drive of the game. That surprised me. And then they just fell apart once Detroit bust open that 100-yard kickoff return to a touchdown. Then that just totally fell apart from them. But
yeah, I think
number one is a play call. And I think if you watch the Washington game, it was like the first half of that Washington game was like watching a preseason because they was all sync until DeSean Jackson went off. And then I go turn to the Redskins game and they have really played them. Half almost like the wide receivers are out. DeSean's not playing. Alshon's not playing. And then they still nearly won it, even though when you go back and look at the tape, you saw that touchdown, but that last touchdown by Julio Jones. And they got away with a block in the back. I'm not crying. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Calls there, and then the refs are going to be the refs anyway. I mean, there's no such thing.
I mean,
even though it's right in front of your faces, it makes you wonder. It's like, what do these refs be thinking when you see a block or any a pass interference, not call, and it's happening, and you see a pitcher or the ref standing right in front of the play and doesn't throw a flag?
Yeah.
Right or wrong, but.
And there were some bad penalties by the Eagles that really, with a couple times that they stopped, they had the Packers like second and long, and they had a penalty.
But I think it's not only that. I think the first penalty you got was a personal foul, the late helmet. I think that was a statement hit. That was more like a, we're in here, you guys are not going to run all over us today. And I think that's when he ran the ball, the Packers ran the ball. The first running play, that's when he got clobbered. I think when Aaron Jones Jamal Wills. And he got caught off the field. I think that was more like a statement hit. It was more like I was like, yo, these guys look like we're here to play. You're not going to sit there and make us look like fools. Even though Aaron Rodgers torched you guys for over 400 yards in the air and two touchdowns.
Yeah, people were saying that was a dirty hit.
But that
right. I mean, I missed the play.
Yeah. I mean,
but.
I'm not surprised that some people are saying that they hit. I mean, I looked at it, I was like, wow, it was either. But it was reports saying that he was, Burnett was not going to get suspension from the NFL. The only thing they probably will do is just look at the hit and then send a fine within guidelines. A guideline, sorry. So, a little slap in the wrist.
Huh? And with the injury to Williams, did they say?
I'm not sure if he went into concussion protocol, but that's why he didn't return to the game.
How about Maddox?
Maddox, they said that I watched some of the post game live after the I just stayed up for like 1 o'clock in the morning watching post game. They did release a statement saying that he was able to travel home with the team, like he had movement in his hands and whatnot. But they released him from the hospital. He was able to fly back home for the team and get far evaluated once he got landed back in Philly. That was earlier today when I was watching NFL Now. So he was released from the hospital and able to fly back with everybody.
Yeah, I saw a photo on Facebook that he's doing. I mean, He tweeted out something that he's okay. So that's a good sign that he can tweet. So.
Yeah. And then.
That was a scary hit.
Well, I'll see now because we got like 10 days of rest. I think they just signed a guy that took his place. They officially signed him on a roster.
Orlando Scutton or something.
Yeah, Orlando. They just officially signed him and released LJ Fort, linebacker.
Okay. Yeah, good.
So that's how you make a
team, yeah, they're better than saying that cornerback now. You have Nose out. I mean, he's trash anyway, but I don't like Nose. But, you know, Sidney Jones got injured last night, too. Ronald Darby. You can't stay healthy for his life. Now you have Maddox. You have four cornerbacks.
Your
top four cornerbacks are out. And
your
top cornerback is Rasheed Douglas.
So do you think that you try to put a trade package together with Jacksonville to get Ramsey to Philly?
Yes.
Or do you just stay? And if you do, what would you give up?
Two first rounds and a third.
What they're asking for? It's like a two. I know they're asking for like at least two first round picks.
Yeah, I would give them two first, and maybe even add a second.
A third. That's like
and
saying
maybe,
that you don't want to be a part of the draft for like two from day one.
Give them two firsts and third and Nelson.
Of course. I think that's an insult to anybody. You trying to give up who?
Nelson Aguilar. Give them Nelson Aguilar.
Well, no, well, tell you the truth, if Nick Foles was still, like, the star QB of Jacksonville, I think sending, putting Aguilar in that trade package for Ramsey, I think was because Nick Foles and Nelson seemed to click better when he was in Philly than any other.
That's what I'm saying.
Nick Foles used him more as a number one or a number two option. That's the Alshon. That's the Alshon when he was quarterback in Philly. And he got less passes when Nick Foles was in there for some straight reason.
If they want to give us a wide receiver, I'll take D.D. Westbrook.
I mean, and D-Jats, I think, tweeted out today saying that he's ready to go for
Week 5.
He's trying to get back for Week 5 for New York. So, if we have it's not the offense I'm not really worried about. I mean, people are starting to say that, well, we got torched up for him, but you got to look. We went to the Lambeau Field, and now he's out. We're the third team in history to score over 30 points in Lambeau Field and still walk out with one.
Okay.
Walk in. Yes. Third team in history to walk into Lambeau Field and score over 30 and still come out on top on the win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what package would you? I mean, what package would you do? Would you include a pair?
I will give
two pairs.
I will give them at least a first. I will give them a first rounder. That for sure. But then again, I also want to know like what's Ramsey's contract like? Is it not going to be like a? Is this going to be like a trade that's going to be like a rental trade? Like, we have to worry about drama going through all season. Is he going to resign? Is he going to just go hit the free market? Because he's just going to hit the free market after the all season. It's not really worth it.
Nah.
Like, that's just like a temporary that, well, we don't win the Super Bowl or make it go deep in the playoffs. No, I want a Super Bowl. We get Ramsey, I want a Super Bowl title, especially if you play the league.
Yeah.
Get
and he would definitely resign. I think he would resign if we got to the Super Bowl, even if we didn't win it.
Yeah. And
I
then,
mean, I don't know who else they could get. I was thinking get rid of Nelson Aguilar and sign Dez Bryant. I know he's Cowboy, former Cowboy, but Dez has something to prove.
Well, yeah, I think Dez wanted to go to an NFC East team. Like, he wanted to go either to Washington or last year when he was looking for a team. Then he wanted to go to either Washington, Philly, or the Giants because he wanted to play the Cowboys twice. But when
the
Saints finally
the Cowboys.
Yeah, and when the Saints finally signed him, It's just unfortunate.
He got hurt.
Right now, he got hurt during practice, during the Cowboys week. I'm like, oh, man. And I was really looking forward to that game. I'm like, yo, Tess is going to go off on these guys. I cannot wait. That was really that just ripped my heart apart when I saw Dez couldn't go. I'm like, yeah, it is wow.
The Saints would have gotten to the Super Bowl if Dez didn't get hurt. They would have had Dez Bryant, AK, 41, and Michael Thomas. You have two elite. You have Michael Thomas on one side and Dez Bryant on the other. And then you have AK, 41, catching the ball out backfield. Whew. That's lethal.
Yeah. I think they matched good last year when it came to the Saints and Rams. They did match up good. I mean, the first week, yeah. And then you go into the playoffs. To the whole Saints fans going off over that missed call. I'm like, okay, you did. They missed the call and you got held for a field goal. But the game went into overtime. And it's not like the Rams got the ball first and scored a touchdown. The Saints started overtime with the ball. Drew Brees was the one to do the interception. So you can't really blame it. Yes, But Drew Brees was the one that started overtime and threw the interception in overtime. It wasn't like you guys never saw the ball in overtime. You started the game in overtime. You threw the interception. So, yes, the refs blew the call because, yeah, they probably would have just built the clock down and kicked the game with a field goal or forget overtime. But they started overtime, and they turned the ball over.
Exactly. How about the same thing?
So I'm looking at it like, you can't really blame. Yes, the game was there, and then you got everybody, and then you saw all the videos, the tape music video. I love that video so much. Oh, the we got robbed, and they won a rematch, and then the NFL finally claiming that it will cost them like millions of dollars to cancel the postpone the Super Bowl 1 week to restart a game from that exact moment after penalty. I'm like, who was asking on take time to want to break off like Super Bowl week to replay a game that's going to last for about what, 2 minutes? Get ready for a week we're going to play for a game that's going to last what, 2 minutes into the fourth quarter and see if who's going to have a right to challenge the Patriots. I mean,
yep,
that's just crazy.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have... What were your five takeaways from the game?
Five takeaways is that... Five good takeaways is five takeaways altogether. I think we should work on it and whatnot.
Yeah, just five altogether. Now, then I'll give mine.
Okay, well, five takeaways is, one, I think, is that Doug Peterson needs to stick with Jordan Howard in the game. I think Jordan Howard should be more like a future back. I know he wants, like, the running back by committee, but Jordan Howard is there for a reason. I mean, you watch all his runs. It's better. Sanders is still young, but he doesn't – and he has, like – McCoy won his rookie year because McCoy, he was like, during his rookie year, he was more like a East West until he finally learned how to hit the hole hard. Until Miles Sanders learned how to like pick a hole and go north and south instead of going east and west for five, then going, he's not going to be at that. And then that's one. I think Jordan Howard needs to be more of a focus point in the there. Another takeaway I was is the offensive line. I think if they do more running to stay balanced, more like a run heavy, I think the play action really will work well, especially once you get Deshaun Jackson back. And they had that type of balanced offense like they had with Green Bay, and you had Deshaun Jackson in there as a deep threat. That's across some... Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, and then you have, okay, Nelson Aguilar. I mean, you got the threat of the play action pass and a running quarterback. I mean, you can, those RPOs can be lethal.
Yep. How many did you give? Do you have any more?
Another thing is, I think we have to find a way to. We need a new defensive coordinator. I'm not sure if you noticed that. I think it was going on like third down and eight or whatnot, and you have Jim Schwartz want to call a six defense, have everybody lined up. It's 8 yards. It's 38. It's not 35. But yet he has everybody guarding that. First line start. Like, why are you afraid to go? Because anything can happen. You're going 8 yards. It's not like you're going like 4th and 26 or 4th and long or 3rd and long. It's just 8 yards. Why are you playing six defense on 3rd down?
Yeah.
And everybody's just getting burned. And we need to find a way to. And I think when you go back to that Atlanta game, everybody was claiming for him to call for the blitz Well, you saw what happened. Well, he put too many. He lived by the blitz. He died by the blitz. And quite frankly, that is like zero blitz, and you losing the game.
Yeah.
But yeah.
One final one. No.
And I was thinking, find a way to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks. I mean, that's one thing I think they really need to do. It's either they need to find a way to stay pressure or play a defense to where you have the corner to have safety help. I mean, I think a four-man front, we're real good against the run for
yeah.
pack for either for teams to say, look, we're just not going to run the ball against us and think they're going to torch us, which is or necessarily think everybody's game plan is just to torch us through the air. That's why they don't want to run the ball or what. And it makes me wonder, knowing that how run heavy the Cowboys defense, our Cowboys team is, it makes me wonder that Sunday night game and how Mark Cooper and all these Dallas fans now are talking about how he's playing on running and then throwing the ball. Is Dallas going to look at that game as like, well, if it's going to running down their throats or are we going to pass it up to us or not? Because you notice how teams can get leads, but they can't seem to hold us back. Like, we just keep flying
exactly.
back for no apparent reason.
Every game so far has been 7 points or less.
Yeah.
If we won 34-29.
No,
what was the score of the Atlanta game?
We lost 4. We lost 4. I think it was 20. It was. I forgot to score the Falcons game. But it was 27-24
yeah.
Western Lions. I think it was a 4-point loss to the Atlanta Falcons. And then we just gave that garbage away touchdown for us away from the Redskins to make it an 8-point game.
Yeah,
what do you think?
So yeah, my five takeaways are, one, I think it's time to move on from Jason Peters and start a rookie, or move Lane Johnson to the left tackle. Yeah.
You say so? I like what Lane Johnson is the right side. I think he's.
I mean, I like the rookie. I think they should need to start him now. I think it's time. Because Peters is always going to get hurt. We know that, whether it's something.
I think he's probably going to be like, he's going to allow him to play out his contract and then let him go. Either let him go
yeah.
or...
I thought he was going to retire yeah. after last season, but...
I think everybody wants to see the film.
Yeah. I want to see the rookie, but number two is that our two biggest weaknesses are obviously the secondary cornerbacks, because with the injuries and with how bad they've been playing. Because Devontae, as I said earlier, killed us in the first quarter, in the first half, and kind of in the second half, then he got injured. He could have easily had 200 yards. But,
I think if Devontae would have stayed in the game, we would have been either talking like a Green Bay win or a Green Bay or that game would have went in overtime.
Yeah. I thought they were going to tie the game, to be honest.
Yeah, especially once we went out.
Oh, yeah. Number three. That we need to, as you said, we need to get Jordan Howard the ball more, and we need to get Alshon the ball more. I know he's coming off a calf injury, but he's going to have 10 days rest. Use Alshon. Stop throwing to the other receivers, because Nelson is not good anymore.
Nelson is occasionally good.
Yeah.
He's good when he wants to be.
Give it to Ertz. You have to give it to Ertz. I know these guys get double teamed, so it's hard to give it to them all the time. But you have Alshon, B-Jack, and Ertz. Those should be your three. Yeah, he's your secret weapon. I think he can be your secret you can be your decoy when other people are being double teamed. You can be your decoy and throw a lob to him that he can catch. Besides that one catch he missed last week. Another one is that they need to work on their last, 2 weeks, they've had a lot of bad penalties called on them, where they committed a lot of bad penalties at the wrong time. I think they need to work on their discipline a little bit, especially on defense.
I think more of the defense was more like a statement. When I saw that the first penalty they received, that late hit, I think it was more not wasn't like a late hit. It was more like a statement hit, because you notice how the Packers stopped really running the ball after they saw how hard Wales got hit the first play of their drive. I mean, my man, I wouldn't even want to run the ball after that. I was there for Kitty.
I mean, they only had one other running back, Aaron Jones, so they weren't running back deep that game.
And
my final takeaway. Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, they're not running back deep, but you would have thought they would be more balanced than what they were.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. My final takeaway is that I agree with you. I think they need to get rid of Tim Schwartz. Unless he changes his game plan and starts blitzing a little more. Because I don't know, third and long, as you said, they get beat all the time. I've seen Douglas and Mattis when he was in there. They got beat bad. That second touchdown to that or third touchdown to in the second half when they made it 21-20. With that,
that was just ridiculous. I'm like, they're going to clock the ball, but they just let them just like spread open and just gave them that like garbage halftime touchdown. I'm like, really?
He went downfield and scored. And then, let's talk about the upcoming game against the Jets in 10 days a little bit before we wrap up. What do you think? Sam Darnold will be back for the Jets? I heard he's going to be back for the Jets on Week 5.
I mean, I'm hearing that. I'm not really worried about Sam Darnold because, tell you the truth, there's only two teams, the Eagles have never lost to in franchise history, and that's to the Jets and then any Houston team whatsoever. That was Texans and the Orioles. The only two teams that the Eagles are actually undefeated against.
Oh, wow.
I was shocked when I said this. I mean, you would think how much he matched up in the preseason that you would have never thought that, wow, preseason really means nothing when you find a stat like that.
I mean, you would think we should beat the Jets, but the Jets are coming up a bye week, so they have their own bye week.
They're
coming up 10 days.
That's one of the advantages. I think it's one of the, even though the Jets do have a bye week, are still, we're technically having a so-called bye week, resting players, and then get ready for the upcoming week. I think, and then finding Le'Veon Bell. I think if you stop Bell, the Jets and Sam Darnold don't play. I think the last rookie that really made us look like trash was Jameis Winston when the Chip Kelly era. The Chip Kelly era, when we got torched by Jameis Winston for 48 points and 48-7 to the Bucks.
Yeah, because their backup quarterback is a rookie, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. The last rookie that really torched the Eagles up was during the Chip Kelly era. And that's when they gave up 48.2 straight games before everybody else called them, until they had that so-called miracle win against the New England, in New England, of all places.
Oh, yeah. And I think they need to stop. I don't know what the cornerback situation is going to be. I don't know who's going to be healthy. We'll find out in probably a week's time.
Like,
the one receiver to keep an eye on is what's his name? Jeremy, the guy from Washington they got, what's his name? The wide receiver. He's. What's his name? Not Ruby Anderson. Crowder.
Ah, man. Oh, James Crowder? Yeah.
Yeah, James Crowder. He knows this. I think he's torched us before when he was in Washington.
James Crowder. But he also had, Deshaun Jackson went on, too. So, yeah, Crowder and Jackson, they was two. But once, I think Deshaun left Washington, Crowder wasn't that much of a problem afterwards once Jackson left.
I mean, Crowder's one of those guys that can light us up. So he's one receiver that I would keep an eye on, because I think they're going to double team Anderson. They don't really have a tight end right now, and as you said, the running back, Le'Veon Bell, stop him. You stop him, you have a good chance of winning. And what else? And the defense is decent, so it's not like they're bad. So I don't know. It's going to be a good game. I don't know what the line is right now. I think it's not out yet officially. But I expect them to win that game. But we also expected them to beat Detroit. So
yeah, they had a chance to win. I mean, you just dropping wide open passes. Even though I wouldn't have never thrown that deep ball to J.J. Whiteside, that last play he dropped, I would have never thrown it to him in the first place. I feel
exactly.
He must have had a better option than Whiteside throwing that. And I was like, where is he throwing it to?
Now,
and then the pass interference. It's just ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. I forgot to ask you this. Do you think this game was like the turning point for the season? I know that sounds crazy, but considering we were 1-2
I think we could not afford to go back 1-3, knowing how well so-called Dallas is playing right now. I mean, yeah, you had a 3-0, but then you look at who Dallas played. They played Washington. They played the Giants
and
the
Dolphins.
And then they played the Dolphins, and they struggled in the first half against the Dolphins in a lot of places. Expecting the Dolphins to get like another 48-point blowout. And they actually put up a fight against. I'm like, wow, that's just in Dallas of all places. You put up a fight for like three quarters, and then you just give up.
I think they're going to lose to New Orleans this week. I think New Orleans is going to.
Yeah.
I think this is
I was looking at more of a trap game if Drew Brees was playing. But with Drew Brees out, the Chase Bloodwater running, they look good in Seattle. So we'll see what happens.
Teddy's a decent quarterback. Before he got injured.
I would keep him. Yeah,
he was a good
quarterback. I think that's what really like put him on the back of the roll because he was a great starter.
Oh yeah, Minnesota had he was supposed to be their franchise quarterback, and then unfortunately he had really bad injury that he missed almost 2 years.
Oh, see ya. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I'm just happy we got a win. We're 2-2. I will be paying close attention to that Sunday night game. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, the Saints will do their job, and then I want to be, I think. People are saying now that this is more like a must-win for Dallas coming in, going into week 3, knowing that after this, that week three game with the Saints is more like a must win, knowing that Dallas has to play Green Bay.
On week four.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Dallas has to play Green Bay next week.
We play Dallas in what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
3 weeks in week seven, Sunday Night Football.
Oh, that's right, in Dallas.
Technically, if we beat the Jets and they drop these two games against the Saints and Packers, we're looking at a whole new division. Everybody's tied up, 3-3. 3-2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me give some plugs and then we're out of here.
All right. Sounds good.
Join us tomorrow night, huh?
Sounds good. Yeah, good.
Oh, yeah. Follow us on Twitter at Phillies SP Podcast. Thank you to all the followers that's been following. Tomorrow we'll be doing an interview with Barry Horace. Me, Doug, and Daniel will be doing that. That interview will be dropping on Sunday after And then tomorrow night, live at 8 p.m., we'll be doing a year retrospective. The year 2001, we'll be talking about WrestleMania 17, when Stone Cold turned heel. Vince buying WCW. Shane bought it under him in the storyline. The whole Alliance versus WWF. We're talking about that for 2 hours, and it should be a fun show. And Kraniff will be joining us about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and 9 o'clock tomorrow night.
We'll be on at 8. He'll call in later. It should be a great show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Kraniff, for coming on. We should do this more often with Eagles recaps if you're available.
Yeah, just trust me.
Yeah. Right. Have a good night. See you tomorrow night.
All right. You too, man. See you tomorrow night. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Yep. Bye. Bye, everybody.